whereas this strength training was very deliberate, focused exercise. And I was so blown away by the results that I thought, you know what, this is fascinating, and I'd love to start learning more about this and create my own like online domain and content. And I reached out to Doug and said, hey, Doug, you know, loved your book. It's changed my life. I'd love to have you on my show, which wasn't a show. He was, at the time, he was my first guest. And then it all just went from there. You know, I loved the experience so much. It grew in popularity, and that motivated me to keep going. And here we are 113 episodes later. So...
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We're really excited about this episode because we're going to be bringing you guys another interview with a professional in the field of health and fitness. Before we get into the intro for that interview, we want to talk to you guys, or not talk to you guys, we want to tell you guys to please visit a certain website.
Yes, we would like you to stop by and visit our sponsors over at the Hemp Coffee Exchange. Not only do they have delicious coffee, but it's also at a special rate for our listeners because we have a little promo code for you.
Exclusive, exclusive, exclusive.
If you could see flashing lights right now, exactly. This is what would be coming. So if you go over to
HempCoffeeExchange.com
and put in the promo code
ATF,
like this tag team business
here.
Yeah,
exactly.
You will save yourself 20% off your online order, and you will open up the door to a whole new coffee love.
Right, exactly. This coffee is very unique. They also blend, obviously they're blending hemp and coffee together to create like a nutritious super coffee, but honestly the flavor profile is unlike any other coffee, and I highly recommend it. All right, so in addition to going to hempcoffeeexchange.com, we definitely want you guys to check out our other site, the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. That is a mouthful. Okay?
It is quite long, yes. But it's the only thing that was available because somebody else took Addicted to Fitness.
Get on Facebook and type in Addicted to Fitness podcast and you will come to our Facebook page.
Yep.
We got some exclusive content on there. Shannon's working hard getting that stuff on there. Every once in a while, we'll get a Facebook Live up. We got to plan our next one. I know we did a taste test, so we got to figure out what the next one's
going to
be.
We did a taste test for the last one, so if anybody has any suggestions, please let us know because we're pretty much game.
I got an idea.
What?
Plank challenge. See how long either you or I can hold a plank.
Oh, that should be great considering I just had a baby a few months back.
Well, why don't you make excuses? Go ahead, keep making excuses.
I would love to kick your ass.
Wow. All right, well, I guess it's on. Now you guys know what the next exclusive content on our Facebook page will be. So make sure you like it and follow it now. All right, so that's a little business beforehand, and now we want to get into introing this week's interview. I had the opportunity to interview this week's guest because he actually reached out to us and asked to be on Addicted to Fitness, which I was very humbled and very flattered by because this individual is a podcaster himself. He has the Corporate Warrior podcast, and he's interviewed a lot of people that we talk about on the podcast on Addicted to Fitness. Mark Sisson, Steve Maxwell, Sean Baker, who actually was recently on Joe Rogan's podcast, and a whole host. He's got over 100 episodes. So he's a whole host of other guests and really kind of luminaries from the field of health and fitness. So once I saw his catalog, I was like, definitely want to talk to this guy.
Yeah, and you got to love that kind of thing about podcasters. I feel like they're sort of like bloggers used to be, and the fact that they're just really genuine people most of the time,
right.
And they want to help each other out. So, I mean, he approaching us after having interviewed and been interviewed with a number of other people, that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is somebody who obviously his podcast is something we kind of are aspiring to be with Addicted to Fitness for sure. Obviously, we want to have our own unique approach to it, but like the kind of the model that he's putting forth, we really appreciate that and really kind of admire it. So I'm going to, without further ado, I don't want to keep hanging on and keep adding stuff to it. We want to get to the bulk and the meat. The really important stuff is our interview with this week's guest, Lawrence Neal. My guest today is the founder of the Corporate Warrior podcast and blog, a body transformation coach, and the author of a pair of ebooks. It is my distinct pleasure to welcome Lawrence Neal to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Thanks for joining me today, Lawrence.
Thanks, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I wanted to ask, where are you? Where am I speaking to you from right now? Or where are you right now as I'm speaking to you?
So I am currently living in Galway, which is a city in Ireland.
Oh, okay. Are you from Ireland originally?
No, I'm not. As you could, well, as you might know by my accent, I'm originally from the south of England, so I'm okay. From the UK, and I moved over here about 7 months ago.
Gotcha. Okay, so now I know, and the reason why it's kind of interesting, obviously, you're my first transatlantic guest on the podcast, so thank you for being the first.
Honored.
And also that, obviously, you when you reached out to be on the podcast, it was going through your website, your scheduling website, it was so, the efficiency blew me away. Just having the way you have everything set up was really kind of, it hooked me right away. I was like, I need to learn more from this person. So then once I started doing my research, I realized that kind of in 2012, you had an epiphany and more kind of a, almost like a life-changing event that changed your approach to fitness and then by, you know, kind of by way, changed your approach to life. And I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, and firstly, thank you so much. That's such a massive compliment to me. I try to make the website and the content easily consumable, and I try to make it easy for the user. So that's really nice to hear. So yeah, I guess as you learn from the kind of about me on the website, and I guess through the content, I used to be, so you know, over 5 years ago, I used to be really into high volume, high frequency exercise. So I was doing, you know, lots of strength training, lots of running, lots of, you know, high intensity interval training. I would do things like ab work and net work. And I would find, and I'd also do basketball alongside that. And I'd find I'd be exercising like 8 to 10 times a week, you know, on average. And I was so obsessed with this because I was of the belief that in order to maintain my physique and improve my fitness, I needed to do that kind of quantity. And what that meant is my career suffered. So, you know, at the same time, I was eating a diet that was quite challenging to sustain, which was very high in fruit and not so high in things like healthy fats and proteins, which I focus more on now. You know, a combination of this kind of challenging exercise regimen and challenging diet meant that I didn't have much energy and time to focus on my career. I didn't have much energy and time to focus on my side hustle, my own business, which I was always passionate about, being my own boss and doing my own thing. My relationships suffered. Even my family and my relationships with my family and my you know, romantic relationships and also my relationships with my friends suffered. I just didn't put enough time into nurturing those. So I was pretty unhappy, to put it bluntly. And, you know, around 2012, I can't remember the exact date, I stumbled across a video by a Dr. Doug McGuff, who did a presentation on the 21 Convention, which is a kind of a convention for self-improvement for men. And this presentation totally blew me away. It was the first time I heard exercise being talked about in such an intelligent way. And it just completely changed the way I thought about exercise and nutrition to a large extent. So Doug's basic talk was talking about, you know, how do we actually define health? What does health mean? What is exercise? You know, exercise, as you probably know, Nick, is actually a negative stress. That too much of it can be a bad thing, potentially. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, in that presentation, he's basically talking about high intensity strength training, which is a highly effective and efficient way to train the muscles and improve overall health. And so I after his presentation, I was completely blown away. And that motivated me to then go and buy Body by Science, which is Doug's book. I read the book. I was so intrigued. I immediately started implementing. I think I read the book in like 2 days. No, who knows how many copies of that book I've probably sold since I started the podcast, because I talk about it all the time. But I pretty much put that book straight into practice. This is going to sound crazy, but I reduced my workout volume from 8 to 10 sessions a week down to literally 15 minutes to 30 minutes per week. Focused purely on strength training. And I would supplement that with some basketball, but that was more for recreation than it was for actual exercise.
Right.
Whereas this strength training was very deliberate, focused exercise. And I was so blown away by the results that I thought, you know what, this is fascinating, and I'd love to start learning more about this and create my own like online domain and content. And I reached out to Doug and said, hey, Doug, you know, loved your book. It's changed my life. I'd love to have you on my show, which wasn't a show. He was, at the time, he was my first guest. And then it all just went from there. You know, I loved the experience so much. It grew in popularity, and that motivated me to keep going. And here we are 113 episodes later. So
it's amazing. I was going through your catalog of episodes, and you have like really the who's who's of the health and fitness industry. Obviously, the person you just mentioned, Mark Sisson. I listened to one with Steve Maxwell, who I'm a huge fan of also. You just recently had Sean Baker on, who was recently on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I wanted to, there's a whole different areas I want to go into right now, but since we're talking about podcasts, I want to know maybe a couple episodes that you would recommend right off the bat people listen to check out on the Corporate Warrior podcast.
Okay, so the first ones that come to mind for me and are kind of special to me are the ones I've done with Dr. Doug McGuff. In my view, you know, he's probably, in my view, the top. If you're looking for someone who has a very, very clear and good understanding of exercise and diet from like a generalist point of view, he is just like no one else I know. You know, the advice that he's given me over the years through his books and through interviewing him has been invaluable. So I've interviewed Doug 3 times. So I would encourage anyone who wants to learn more about really effective and sustainable exercise to check out my interviews with him. So I've done 3 I've done 4, but the 4th one I only just recorded, which, to be fair, it should be published around the time you publish this, probably just after, because I'm thinking kind of mid-February. But yeah, that's where I would start. But obviously, it's really hard for me because I love so many of the episodes that I did. You know, another one which I really enjoy was, and it's my most popular actually today, is my first podcast with Dr. Ted Naiman, who's a board certified medical doctor, but he's an expert in diet and metabolism. But he just also happens to be a big fan of high intensity strength training, which he does using body weight. And that is another very, very popular and very good episode. So I did 2 with Ted Naiman. So yeah, I would start listeners with Dr. Doug McGuff and Dr. Ted Naiman.
Was that Tim Naiman or Ted?
Ted, T-E-D.
Okay, good. And I'll make sure I'll put all the links for that in our show notes when we do this episode, so people can easily get a hold of the Corporate Warrior podcast episodes you just mentioned. So
thank you.
There was a couple things you mentioned when you were talking about those people you interviewed was about nutrition. And I know you're an author of an ebook about fat loss, and being a personal trainer, I always get, you know, questions from clients about what's the best way to lose fat. And I'd love to hear your approach and what you've discovered after talking to so many people in the industry, in the health industry, about what probably the optimum approach to fat loss is.
Yeah, sure. I would also just like to say, jumping back, because I forgot to mention something earlier, which is when I reduced my exercise right down and made it far more efficient and effective, that gave me all my time back. So all those areas that were suffering suddenly improved a lot. So I was able to create, obviously, a successful business. I had a lot of success in IT sales in London in the UK. And I had, you know, I met my now partner. So I wanted to mention that as well, because that's kind of part of my story, which I think is quite nice to hear. But yeah, so in terms of fat loss, I've learned a ton on this, and obviously I've implemented a lot of what I've learned on myself and on friends and also clients that I work with. I think my current position would be that I think it's really important for people to focus their diet on eating, because obviously fat loss is literally 95% diet. You know, you can't, as a well-known saying, which is that you can't outwork a bad diet, right? You know, if you exercise, yes, you will burn some calories. And if you build muscle, it will make fat loss a bit more permissive because you're more insulin sensitive and you will increase your metabolism. So you're kind of like signaling the right things if you're doing those activities. And I am a believer of this is really me parroting Doug McGuff, but if you build muscle and you're very active, you will reduce the utility of stored body fat. So I think it does help get you towards a leaner body composition. But talking about diet, which I think is the key thing people need to focus on, I think it's really important to prioritize foods that are nutrient dense and high in protein. I think it comes down to a calorie balance at the end of the day. But I think if you try and control for calories and you don't control these other things, I think it'd be very difficult to sustain a calorie deficit over a long period of time. Right. Rather, by focusing on high protein, ideally, and nutrient-dense food, the calories kind of take care of themselves. So just to elaborate on that, when I talk about nutrient-dense food, I'm talking about fish, meat, fowl, eggs, obviously the highest quality that one can afford, high-quality vegetables, mostly green vegetables. I mean, these are things that I think a lot of people know. And then obviously the avoidance of the high-energy, the energy-dense, but the low-nutrients food, like, you know, the vegetable oils, the sugary goods, the junk food, the bread, stuff like that. I think somewhere in the middle is probably things like butter, cheese, and potato. I think they're good as like a condiment or something to eat in moderation. But the primary staple, and focus of the diet should be these nutrient dense foods that tend to be high in protein. And obviously, that's what really drew me to Sean Baker's experiment. Yeah. He's pure carnivore, and I have somewhat become a bit of a carnivore myself. Although I'm not totally carnivorous.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. And what I've noticed is if people focus on that as a model, like in terms of focusing their eating on those kind of nutrient dense and high protein foods, pretty much everything else starts taking care of itself. You know. Because your appetite is satiated, you don't feel as hungry, so you won't eat as much. You'll have all the nutrients, so your body's not going to be, you know, elevating your hunger to try and get more protein or get more nutrients. So I think that just works really, really well. It just so happens that if you eat that way, it is going to be a low carb, higher protein, higher fat diet. Right. So I feel like that's more of a byproduct as opposed to the low carb being the magic bullet, you know?
Yes.
So that's kind of my first bit of advice. And the second thing I think is really important is looking after your environment. I think people really underplay the importance of things like decision fatigue. So decision fatigue is a thing that happens when you are fatigued from making too many decisions through the day. And if you are spending your days making lots of trivial decisions that actually don't either need to be made or could be automated, things like what you're going to have for breakfast, what you're going to do as your morning routine, things that I think should be somewhat automated, it means that when you come home, you're going to have less willpower. You know, when you come home after a hard day's work, if you've got bad food in the cupboards, you know, the likelihood is you're far more likely to just go, you know, not make a very good decision and just eat that food. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that people start looking at their day and going, okay, I've got a finite number of decision-making hit points every day. And in trying to automate those very trivial decisions and trying to kind of preserve some of that willpower. Now, another thing you can do, and this is probably more important, is by cultivating an environment that's not full of junk food. So I think this is so key, because even someone like me, and I do consider myself quite an outlier, I am quite disciplined with diet. If I have bad food in my cupboards or in my fridge, and I'm, you know, currently today, for instance, I'm working from home, I'm much, much more likely, I'm going to eat that stuff. You know, I'm much more likely to snack on it. Yeah. Whereas if I cultivate a very healthy environment, be it at home or at work, I'm not likely to do that. And, you know, I'm much more likely to opt to default to healthier food. And so I think that's a big one. I think one of the biggest challenges people have is they're constantly surrounded by this high energy food. And, you know, we're wired for a time when you wouldn't have that. So, of course, if it's there, you're much more likely to consume it, mm-hmm. because that's kind of where our ancient wiring is kind of geared us towards. So that's a big one. So cultivate a healthy home environment, get all the junk food out, and do the same for your work environment if you can. And then if you're going to have a cheat day, which I think is fine in moderation, or you're going to have a cheat meal or a takeaway, buy the stuff, eat it, and then bin the rest, like, you know, for the next day. And I think that works quite well. So those are really important. I still think strength training is really important, you know, building muscle, because you don't want to diet ideally without doing some kind of intense or high effort exercise, because you will lose muscle mass. And that's something I don't think is ideal, because that will obviously reduce metabolism and has a number of other negative health consequences. So I do think it's kind of a combination of strength training, eating high protein, nutritious food, and cultivating a healthy environment. And that is what I have learned, you know, doing a whole ton of research myself. So I'm, you know, a bookworm, I'm sure, like you are, Nick. Mm-hmm. You know, I do read as much research as I can. I do try and read the scientific literature. And then I obviously talk to some of the best in the world on this subject. And I try and find out, you know, what is the latest research showing in terms of what is effective for fat loss? You know, I also think, just to add, if you don't mind, Nick, I know I've been going on for ages.
That's all right, please do.
For me, it's been, I've had a bit of my own kind of dietary epiphany in the last 6 months. So I used to be, you know, big advocate of eating protein in the morning. I didn't really like the idea of doing intermittent fasting. And I kind of thought that was also important for me as being a hard gainer myself in terms of preserving muscle tissue. But I always had like a bit of fat that I kind of wanted to lose. And I am kind of like, you know, most people who hear that who know me would think, are you kidding me, Lawrence? Like, you have no fat to lose. But, you know, when it's yourself, it's different. Like, yeah. you know kind of what you want to achieve. And when I moved to Ireland, I temporarily lived with my partner's mum. And she really didn't like me going into the kitchen and cooking. So I really had to kind of just cook whatever she gave me. Mm-hmm. And she would cook two meals a day. So I just kind of defaulted to this two meal a day schedule, which was, you know, usually, you know, lunch or brunch or something like that, and then dinner. So, you know, we'd have probably two large meals and usually quite big gaps between meals. I wouldn't really snack. And what I noticed is, even though I was eating sometimes not very well, and I was eating like foods that weren't that ideal, my body composition was getting better, because I was obviously eating, you know, less calories over time. And it kind of occurred to me that, oh, right, so by doing this intermittent fasting thing, you know, there's no downside. In terms of I don't feel different. Like, I still feel like I don't feel that hungry in the morning anyway, and I'm still getting these like really like good meals in a day. I felt like this is something I could sustain. So when I moved to Galway and had my own place, started cooking for myself much more often, I just stuck with it. So I, instead of obviously having, you know, the food she was giving me, I was focused more on kind of nutrient dense, high protein food. So I was having, like, you know, lots of steak, eggs, vegetables, stuff like that. But I would have just literally the lunch and dinner. So I really continued to practice that intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And I just got really effortlessly lean doing that. Like, I got, you know, six-pack abs, or I had six-pack abs already, but I got, like, even a better definition, right, from switching to eating this way. And not to mention how much more efficient it is. You know, you buy less food. Mm-hmm. You know, you feel better, you've got more energy, you're not consuming a ton of calories. And it just makes sense to me. So, you know, having a lot of projects on the go now, I figured, you know, why not just continue doing this, you know? And it's worked really well.
Right. And your eating window is what, about 8 hours? Was that what it was?
I would say so. In an ideal world, right. You know, like I didn't follow that every day. Like I would, there are some days where I'm like, you know what, it's 10 a.m. and I'm pretty hungry, so I'll eat like a large meal at 10.
Yeah.
But then I won't eat another meal till probably 7, 8 p.m. Gotcha. You know. But I try. Yeah, I do tend to probably stick between the 8-hour eating window, so 16-8, I suppose, is quite accurate.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I know, and I've heard a lot of that basically from Dr. Rhonda Patrick about the benefits of, you know, time-restricted eating, about especially syncing it up to your kind of your natural body clock, how much benefits they're finding out about that right now, and I've shared that with my clients too. So one thing you touched on about kind of the approach to nutrition is the kind of prior planning, essentially, or setting yourself up for success. And I tell clients one of the easiest things, and I know it sounds super simple, is actually making a grocery list and sticking to that grocery list when you go to the grocery store. There's so many people that I face, especially my clients, that will just go to the grocery store and they'll buy whatever, because either they'll go hungry usually, and then they'll go and they'll just impulse buy. And that's when you set up and when you go home and your cabinets are full of that stuff that's not going to be beneficial to you in the long run.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I'm stealing that.
So what I wanted to ask you, because you touched on it, is your approach to strength training, the high intensity training. It's a little bit different because a lot of people think, oh, that's HIIT, that's HIIT, but it's definitely a different approach, and I'd love for you to elaborate on it.
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Like high intensity training is so overused that it's become quite underdefined. So it's used to describe so many different approaches to exercise now, because it's kind of the cool thing. Which is a little bit irritating, because when I talk about, so if I say, oh, I do high intensity training, people immediately assume it's some kind of exercise regime that they understand as being HIIT, but actually it's completely different most of the time. So the type of high-intensity strength training that I do and that I was inspired by is the strength training popularized by Arthur Jones, who was an American inventor and entrepreneur in the 70s and 80s. And you know, he passed away, I think, over probably about 10 years ago. But his kind of legacy has lived on in the high-intensity strength training community. And the type of training I'm talking about is strength training, so resistance training with machines or free weights or body weight, typically done, although not, doesn't always have to be, with a single set to muscular failure. So if you imagine doing I guess the easiest thing to kind of envision is kind of like a chest press machine or a pull down, like a lat pull down. You're essentially doing a set, but you're going to concentric, so typically positive failure. So you're going through, you know, a typical set, so it might be, 8 to 12 repetitions performed nice and smoothly with smooth turnarounds and performed to muscular failure. And as soon as you've done that exercise, you move on to the next one. And essentially, you know, with most protocols, you're trying to cover the whole musculature of the body in one workout. And once you've done that, you know, you'll need then obviously a certain amount of rest and recovery before your next session. And it's the focus of something like high intensity strength training is trying to find the minimal effective dose. You know, what is going to flick the switch for the optimal stimulation of muscle gain, strength, improvements in cardiovascular conditioning, bone mineral density? What's going to do that in the most effective and efficient way so that we can spend the rest of our life doing things that are kind of more interesting to us, and not kind of spend all our time doing exercise. I mean, obviously there's lots of exceptions to that rule. You know, if you're an athlete or if you're really interested in doing different types of sports, then obviously you have to kind of like adapt this template to that person. But in a nutshell, that's the kind of strength training that it is. So hopefully that kind of makes sense, and I'm happy to elaborate if you've got any questions on that, because I know it could just sound like a lot of other resistance training methods out there.
Right. So I mean, the amount of reps you would do per set is just a single rep, and it's based on maybe time, like time under the muscles under tension.
So let me explain that. So in high intensity training, they don't well, some people do measure repetitions. It's not one rep, it's generally one set. Exactly. Although some people do multiple sets, it really doesn't matter. I guess traditional high intensity strength training is based on a single set to muscular failure. So if you imagine you're just doing a chest press, so you're moving back and forth, you're building up fatigue as you go through, and then eventually you're going to get to a point where you can't move that weight anymore. Right. So obviously it's ideal to set a fairly, you know, moderate to heavy load at the beginning, ideally, so that you're not, you know, exercising for an extended period of time. And then once you hit muscular failure, you're pushing against that, you're still contracting as hard as you can for maybe 5 or 10 seconds, and you're slowly laying the weight back down to the starting position. Right. So that's like one set. And then you're moving on to a leg press, exactly the same process. You're moving, doing, you know, repetitions, or, and like you were saying, time under load, which is just muscle under tension. So in high intensity training, we prefer typically to measure time under load because it's a slightly more accurate way of measuring performance, because reps can be kind of arbitrary if, you know, if you've gone from doing a 4 second concentric, 4 second eccentric repetition to doing like a 20 second repetition, then, you know, 5 reps or 6 reps or 7 reps kind of becomes a little bit arbitrary. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
So,
okay.
So yeah, hence why time under load is kind of in my opinion, a more accurate way to measure performance.
Gotcha. That's definitely helps me explain it a little bit, or helps me understand it a little bit better. So I appreciate you elaborating on that more. And if people want to get more information about this type of strength training, they should definitely check out your website, 15minutecorporatewarrior, correct.com?
That's correct. Yeah, 15minutescorporatewarrior.com, or just go to corporatewarrior.org, and that will send you to my podcast page, which has got all of the episodes. So it's literally like a buffet of all of the podcasts. Right. I would also just say, you know, if there's one resource I always recommend to people, it's Doug's book, Body by Science. You know, I have no affiliation, I don't earn any money recommending that book, but it's a great investment for anyone who wants to take their health and fitness to the next level.
Right. I do. I have that written down, because that's something I'm definitely going to invest in, because I'm always, like you mentioned, always got to look for more knowledge in regards to health and fitness when I'm trying to relay that to people, because that's the best weapon is having all the knowledge. Well, not, it's hard to have all the knowledge, but it's trying to gain knowledge from different sources is obviously the most optimum way, I think, to health and fitness. Now, also, people can also enlist your services as a coach if they're looking, they need some help for fitness also, isn't that true?
Yeah, that's right. So this has kind of morphed over time. It's a service I launched a few months ago, because prior to that, I was just focused on the podcast. And then I realized, well, you know, I've obviously learned a ton about how to help people in terms of fat loss and muscle gain. And, you know, I've always done favors for friends in the past, just helping them get into shape. And I've helped some people lose a tremendous amount of body fat. And obviously I've done that myself as well. And so I decided to launch that service. And what I now really focus on is I like to work with people that are really, really motivated in achieving goals with regard to like body transformation. So I tend to work with, as the site name might suggest, corporate warriors. So people that are tend to be quite senior, I guess, within the business domain, who are very, very busy, pretty stressed out, and, you know, they've got excess body fat, or they're trying to gain some muscle and they struggle to find the time, who are looking for the most efficient and effective methods to do that and need someone to help keep them accountable. So that's where I'm kind of focused on. So if the listeners kind of fit that mold, then I'd be very obviously happy to have provide them with a consultation and go from there. And if people want to contact me about that, probably the best way is to email me at hitbodycoach@gmail.com. So it's hitbodycoach@gmail.com.
All right. Once again, I'm writing that down right now so I can include that in the show notes and pass that on to the listeners. So if they need to, if they're interested in contacting you, they can definitely find that out. So also, Lawrence, obviously, I want to thank you once again for coming on, being someone, after looking through your bio, listening to many of your episodes, it's kind of inspiring to see someone like yourself who had the revelation and had kind of the epiphany in regards to fitness and has now been able to maximize your time and has made the podcast and the blog, and also now being a kind of a health coach, you're full-time, not full-time, but I know you also have other ventures and things like that, but it's also kind of like your main occupation. And seeing that, and it's very inspiring. I mean, I know probably someone like you, Tim Ferriss, and the 4-hour work week and the 4-hour body are probably things, hopefully, after hearing you speak, probably something you've already been familiar with also.
I am the biggest Tim Ferriss fanboy from the UK. I am a huge fan of that man.
I knew it. I mean, obviously, it's easy to see, like, through kind of the practices you have. So it's definitely someone who, that person, like him, he's inspiring to me. So you're also inspiring to me, and something I can aspire to be. Because obviously, I love the podcasting, I love fitness, and molding the two together is what we're trying to do on the Addicted to Fitness. So,
well, you guys are doing a great job. You know, your podcast, you've done tons of episodes. You know, you just got to keep going, man. Like, you've got some great work to share and knowledge to share. So keep doing your thing, and you'll achieve your goals. It's just like you said, it's fusing the passion with the desire to help others and finding the mediums that work for you. Mm-hmm. And clearly you've done that with the podcast. So.
Yeah. No, and I really appreciate you coming on. Please, once again, letting people know how they can get in contact with you and how they can maybe listen to more of your podcast and read your blog.
So I guess, so a few things. If you've got any podcast app, so like iTunes or any of these like podcast directory apps on smartphone, if you just type Corporate Warrior, it'll come up. And the logo is a fairly ripped chap with a shirt and tie. So that's how you can find the podcast. And then corporatewarrior.org is the domain for all of the podcast episodes. So if people want to see that kind of buffet of episodes on the website. And that's I would just leave people with that for now, because if you go there, then there's obviously a contact me page. If you want to drop me an email or find out more about me, it's all on the website. So hopefully it should be quite sort of self-explanatory for people.
Excellent. Guys, once again, I'm going to reiterate it. I know I've done it twice already, but all those links will be on our show notes for this episode, so please check them out. And Lawrence, I hope you enjoyed coming on with us today. I know I enjoyed it, and I really hope maybe you'd like to come on in the future, and we can catch up on whatever new information you've gathered, and we can share it with the listeners.
Absolutely. I've loved being on. I really appreciate you having me on, Nick.
All right. Thanks, Lawrence. Talk to you again.
Talk to you soon.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Lawrence Neal. Honestly, like I said beforehand, he's a very inspirational guy and a super helpful guy. We actually talked for over an hour, and he just gave me so many tips about how I can help grow the podcast, how I can grow Addicted to Fitness. And it was awesome. It was all just, you know, unsolicited. He just wanted to, like Shannon said beforehand, he was just wanted to be helpful. And I think, like you said, the podcasters out there, it seems that they're having it's more of like a very synergistic relationship.
Yeah, they're a unique community nowadays, when everything else I think is like too heavily marketed and kind of pushy and mm-hmm. competitive. Podcasters are just like, I feel like they're kind of like video creators, right, in a way that they just are a community and they like to help each other out. So props to him for being so generous with his time for the interview, but also with his experience and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's already, you know, reached out to me a couple times since the podcast and given me more advice. So hopefully, with following his tips and advice he's given, hopefully we're going to have some more interviews coming out this year, because I would really love to do that. And I know Shannon, we always get good response when we have interviews, because we just like – We want to, obviously, we have our opinions and we share them regularly with you guys, but we want to make sure you guys have a broad kind of exposure to what all the information that's out there in the field of health and fitness, because that's really the, in my opinion, the best way of making the right decisions when it comes to your health, is having all the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to, I mean, obviously you're going to have some sort of bias. I have some sort of bias. Shannon has a certain level. Everybody has bias.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the most even, like, unbiased person ever.
Right, of course, yes. So that's not at all true. That's how I would describe you. Anyway, but it's even when you have some sort of bias, you have to be open to new information, especially in health and fitness, because it's always so much new information is coming out on, you know, a daily, monthly, weekly basis that is kind that is really important to helping you live a happier and healthier life.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it in our interview with Lawrence about his approach to nutrition. You know, he wrote an ebook about fat loss and things like that. And I was like, you know, what was his approach? And it's things we've talked about on the podcast before, you know, mentioned intermittent fasting. And also kind of a changing his approach to the macronutrients, you know, being more of a protein, heavy on the protein and less on more the refined carbs, processed foods, things that we've heard people on this podcast discuss before, Nicole Racine, Vinny Tortorich. It seems to be that approach is really, and we're seeing it a lot more now, and you just kind of like, I think we talked about it on our predictions episode about how dietary fat's going to be really make its comeback this year.
Yep.
You know, and we're seeing that. We talked about that with Lawrence about how, you know, how important that macronutrient is. So it's things getting that type of information and knowing that stuff and making the right dietary choices, or the best, I shouldn't say the right, cause that's the wrong word. The best dietary choices, especially for the individual, cause it's going to vary from individual to individual. That's what we're really trying to get accomplished when we do our interview podcasts.
Yeah, and it's always nice to hear from somebody who has such a split focus and, you know, is really doing something he's passionate about,
right,
but then also coming from, you know, very corporate world.
Yeah.
And he's doing it all, kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, he is.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's really inspiring.
Right. I mean, he churns out a couple episodes a week. So that's really, I'm really impressed with him. And so, like, we're definitely working hard. We've been inspired by him, and we're going to keep adding to the episodes, keep adding to our content. You know, we're really trying to take the podcast to the next level, you know, this year. And obviously we need your guys' help to do so. So not only giving us those rating and reviews in iTunes, which are huge, but also sharing the podcast with a friend. That is humongous, you know, helping us spread the good word of fitness, giving us that like and follow on Facebook, and then obviously reaching out to us with any type of comments.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the guests that we interview, we will have all of their pertinent information, so you can go and find out all of his social and websites and everything from today's conversation we'll have in our show notes.
Right.
And we'll also do a little quick featurette on him in upcoming Facebook posts so you guys can see that too.
Right.
But please just share the love of those people as well, because they are doing the same thing we are. We're just trying to get information in your hands so you can make good decisions and good choices.
Right. Yeah. If you obviously, Shannon, like Shannon said, all his links will be on our show notes at elementaltampa.com. And also, if you're looking into hearing his podcast, another great fitness podcast, Corporate Warrior Podcast, just type in Corporate Warrior in iTunes and you'll find his podcast. So that's a great way to get even more information about health and fitness. All right, you got anything else for him this week?
I do not.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.